I told Jen earlier this week, surely there's nothing quite like preaching a sermon in front of your former pastor. Lots of notes, exactly, yes. But truly, this congregation owes the Rooney family a debt of gratitude, as I served as an elder under Nathan, who is a pastor in Fargo, for 7 years, and most everything I learned about pastoring a small church, I learned from watching him. So everything that I've done today and do here links back to the Rooney family, who served faithfully for 7 years in Fargo. All right, we up to speed, Annabelle? Almost there. Do we get all of our wires uncrossed from this morning earlier? I always like making life difficult for Annabelle, so I unplug things back there and plug them in the wrong way. She has to rearrange it to get it all right on Sunday morning. All right. Have you ever noticed how people tend to be forgetful? And it's not even just something that comes with old age. It happens to us young whippersnappers too. So I have a lot of daughters, as many of you have noticed. And I found it's always been really easy to keep Annabelle straight. And Micaiah was easy to figure out. And Ariana, when she was born, was a piece of cake. But when Ariel was born, all of a sudden Ariana and Ariel were somewhat interchangeable. It got more complicated with Ansley. And then Elise threw an extra wrench into the system entirely. And I hit a new low in the last couple of weeks when I called out in my house, "Elise, what is the weather forecast today?" I was trying to talk to my Alexa app. Elise looked up from tying her shoes and she's like, "What are you saying, Dad?" But fortunately, they're gracious with me when mixing up their names. We don't remember everything that we should. We forget things. We mix things up. But you know, one of the things that God warned his people to do was to remember. This comes across in Deuteronomy. Chapter 4, Moses is speaking to the Israelites, and he's 120 years old at the time and has been through a lot. And the people of Israel have lived through the Exodus. There's no one there who is was over 20 when they left Egypt, but a great many of them there in their teenage years would have seen the 10 plagues fall on Egypt, would have walked with their parents out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. They lived with manna falling from heaven for 40 years. They saw the quail. And now after 40 years, they're on the edge of the promised land. And Moses is giving his final sermon, so to speak, to them. He's speaking his final words to the whole congregation. And there's a couple themes that come across in chapter 4 and chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. In 4 verse 9, Moses says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, 'Assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children.'" The next verse he continues, "You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. And then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice." See, the people in the crowd there that day were all relatively young when they saw this, when they got to Mount Sinai with their parents. And he's reminding them of the first revelation they had of the Lord. When they saw him, his presence on the mountain. When they heard his voice. Do you remember the first time God revealed himself to you? Or the time it became real? Jen tells that story every now and again to our kids. She was a bit older than I was. She was in college in those days. And all of a sudden, she was like, he spoke to me. It was real. I was a bit younger. I was about 7 or 8. I found it was a good way to stay up later at night. As if the Lord gave me a word at night, I could go to my mother and she'd write it down. She caught on after 3 times. It's like, all right, now you got to go to sleep. Mischievous little 7 or 8 year old I was. But God was speaking, and that's when it became real. And we all have different stories of how we first experienced God. When it first became real, when we first heard his voice, that revelation in our spirit that there's something more than just what I can touch, feel, and taste. There's a supernatural presence out there. We need to remember that. And we need to tell them that. But it's not just our experiences we need to communicate to our children. In chapter 6, Moses says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. See, we need to remember his written word as well, his commands. Not just our experiences, but what also he has written down and told us in the word. And it's not just one or the other, it is a both. You know, you can study the Bible intellectually for years and years and years and never experience the presence of God, and you're missing something. You can experience the presence of God and never read his word, and boy, you're missing something. You miss a lot of things. But you put the two of them together, transmit that to the next generation so they know how you experience the Lord, what was revealed to you. They can recognize it when the Lord reveals himself to them. It says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. That seems like that just be 4 times a day. The idea he's trying to communicate is like, all the time. When you start the day, when you end the day, when you're going somewhere, when you're laying down, when you're sitting around, his word is on your lips. So children and grandchildren can hear about them. One of the Psalms communicates much of the same idea. Psalm 78, written by Asaph, about 1,000 years after Moses, maybe 500 years after Moses, probably. But you know, 500 years allows a lot of generations to go by, and they still had these words from Moses. They still knew what Deuteronomy said, and Asaph could look back and be like, huh, yeah, remember that generation. Gideon's generation, yeah, they walked away from the Lord until they experienced him, and then they came back. And you know what? Then their children did the same thing. They wandered away from the Lord, and they came back. In fact, the whole book of Judges is just like this cycle. Over and over and over again. In fact, it's a funny story. I remember the first time I realized that was when Nathan Rooney was preaching a sermon series on Judges, and after he hit chapter 7, he's like, you know, this is just the same thing over and over again. I'm going to move on to something else. That was really funny. But, the human experience is that way, because without knowing what God has said, and without having experienced him and had the revelation in our heart of who he is, we tend to forget and we walk away. So Asaph starts writing in Psalm 78. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. Things that we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. And things got through 500 years. The word was written down, and it was preserved. They could still read it. But their ancestors had told them about it. They knew the stories. He continues, we will not hide them from their descendants, we will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. You know, every generation has a responsibility to relay on to the next generation the knowledge of the Lord. And half the woes, maybe all the woes that we face in society, and the reason we throw our arms up when listening to the news, and the reason we revisit our statement of beliefs to remind ourselves we do still really believe this, it hasn't changed in the last 40 years because it's still written. But half the reason of these such issues is because the knowledge of God and the knowledge of his commands has not been faithfully transmitted from generation to generation. Talks about the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, the power, the wonders he has done. And think back on your life. What experiences have you had where God came through? And my mother was collecting some of those stories from the generations long past. 7 or 8 generations back on my mother's side, it was a man named Peter Castle, and he came over to the New World, and he planted a First Lutheran Church on the other side of the Mississippi, actually. So we're on the east. And he came over in about 1845, but coming across the ocean on the ship, they had a very close encounter. They were in the middle of a storm, and this is 1845, on a sail-driven ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. They smashed into another ship. Didn't destroy them. They didn't sink. But if you can imagine having a mid-ocean collision while coming across the Atlantic on a sailboat, it'd be nerve-wracking. As my mother was telling the story, all the grandchildren were like, wait. If he would have sunk to the bottom of the ocean, we wouldn't be here today. And so this grew into the stories of how all of us almost weren't. My grandmother was 2 or 3 years old. She came down with spinal meningitis, and this had been in the late 20s. You know, modern medicine was not around yet. And I had a country doctor who's like, well, there's this outside chance that this technique might work. He drilled into her back and drained the spinal fluid out of her column at the age of 3 without antibiotics, and she survived. And she was relatively unharmed. She recovered from this. It was insane. Like, this is 1927. Go figure. She was one of the 10% that made it. We all almost weren't. But the Lord was faithful for many, many generations. And those stories have been preserved. My mother's transmitted several of them down. And then she and my dad talk about how they found the Lord. Because they didn't grow up with the revelation of who he was. They heard a bit about him, but they'd never experienced him until they were about 24, 25. And then all of a sudden God revealed himself to them. These experiences, the wonders of what God has done, the times he's proven himself faithful, something to communicate, praiseworthy deeds. It's better than the news. Psalmist continues, he has decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. It is not just our experiences. It's also what God has written in his word that has to get transmitted and passed down. Truly understanding it. And we think of the reformers like Martin Luther, who was reading the Bible and recognized, oh my gosh, we're not saved through all the indulgences we could buy from the Catholic Church. We're saved by faith. And he had that revelation, which was new in his generation and day, because it had been forgotten and had not gotten passed down. The culture had shifted the beliefs, so that all of a sudden you had to earn your salvation in one fashion or another. Do you know there's much we have inherited, truths of the scripture, many of which Bob succinctly read at the beginning of the service this morning. We can pass these down. This is what the Bible means. There's scripture references attached to all of those. And his written word is something that is essential to get passed down. It serves as an anchor for our experiences, lens through which we can interpret them, but also for things we haven't experienced. Never had to live through a famine in the United States in my life. But you know what? Plenty of people in the Bible did. God was faithful in famines as well. Experiences that we've never had to endure, we can see in scriptures, he is still faithful. During sieges, during famines, and earthquakes, all kinds of ways. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. I believe this referring to the generation that died in the wilderness. As I read through the Old Testament with my children, one of the things I point out is the point in the book of Numbers where you jump from the second year of the Exodus to the 40th year of the Exodus. You know there's 37 years of nothing that needed to be communicated? Because the only thing of significance in the plan of redemption was a whole generation dying off and becoming carcasses in the wilderness. And a whole generation underneath them lived through that experience just waiting for their parents' generation to die off. One of them was Zelophehad. His daughters said he died for his own sins. Not in one of the rebellions, but he was a carcass in the wilderness, along with a great many others. So that when they numbered the fighting men, after 40 years, and there were 601,000 of them, none of those men had been found in the previous census because they were all under the age of 20. But there were 603,000 in the first census. Not one of them made it through. They were stubborn. They were rebellious. They kept wanting to go back to Egypt. Surely the bondage of Egypt would be better. Ever have those experiences in your life? We've escaped something and we're like, maybe I'll just go back. Maybe it'll be better. Weren't loyal to God. Their spirits were not faithful to him. It was a path that led to death. There was a specific day he was referring to. Remember the day Moses said, all right, now it's time to take the land? They sent the spies out. The spies come back. They bring the report. And everybody is trembling with fear. Psalmist writes of that day, the men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. They have a very short memory. In the previous 18 months, they had seen him bring 10 plagues against Egypt, several of which dodged the Israelites and were unique only in the experience to the Egyptians. The Israelites didn't have to deal with them. They were spared entirely. They'd been released at Pharaoh's order, crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They'd eaten manna. They'd seen God bring quail into the middle of the desert. They'd seen water come from the rock. They'd seen God's power demonstrated. Moses came down from the mountain with the commandments written by the finger of God himself. But they forgot what God had done, and they forgot the wonders he had shown them. You know, sometimes the wonders of God start fading from our hearts, and we let the present overwhelm us. It takes up all of the wavelengths in our mind. See, we face days of testing in our life where all of a sudden we have to view our current circumstances through the faithfulness God has demonstrated through the past. Through the past in our life, through the past in our parents' lives, through the past in His written word. Because when we face days of testing, it's very easy to just simply walk away, to forget the wonders God has done, to refuse to keep the covenant, walk away from His truths, start charting our own way back into the bondage of sin. In our own lives, Jen and I faced several tests very early in our marriage. We had a miscarriage after being married for 2 years, I think. And then a year later, we had another one. And the second one was even scarier than the first, because this was becoming a pattern. As much as the doctors say we don't call it a pattern until the third one, getting through two is quite a bit. But I remember my wife responding to the second one especially. There was a famous song back then. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's coming out of Job. You know, Job lost an awful lot. And he still insisted on praising the name of the Lord. He gives and He takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We face losses in our life. Face tests and challenges, things that don't go the way we hope and dream and want them to. And it has to get through these, we have to remember what He's done and what He's written. Psalmist continues writing about that generation. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors, in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guided them with a cloud by day and with light from the fire all night. Talk about walking in the presence of the Lord. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. But on the day of testing, when they got the report of giants and fortified cities in the land, they said, "No, we will not go." They didn't remember God's faithfulness on the day of testing. So what about us? Will we remember God's faithfulness? Will our children remember God's faithfulness? Will our grandchildren remember God's faithfulness? It's much to transmit to the next generation. This next fall, I'm actually going to start a Bible literacy class for high school students. So we have two of them in the church. And even if it's only for the two of them, it would be worth my time and investment to transmit to the next generation what the Bible actually says, because so few people in the world actually know what it says. They just know what other people think about what it says. And hopefully, some of their friends will decide they want to come too. And we'll have more than just two. But we have to remember, and we have to teach, we have to transmit these things to the next generation. Otherwise, they'll fade from our hearts. And we're warned, keep these things close. And don't forget them, or let them fade from our hearts. As long as we live, and we're to teach them to our children and to our children after them. Their children after them. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Well, Lord, we thank You for the faithfulness that You have demonstrated in our lives, in the lives of those who have gone before us. We thank You, Father, for the truths of Your word that communicates who You are and Your plan of redemption. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that You would help us to fully embrace these in our lives that we would not fail to remember them on the days of testing, but that we would also diligently transmit them to the next generation, that they would not walk away from you as challenges come, that they would not look at the ways of the world as being a path of freedom, even as the Israelites saw Egypt as a better place than the wilderness. But we pray, Lord, that we would be able to follow faithfully after you and not stubbornly refuse to listen to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, may the Lord remind you and bring to your memory the amazing acts of faithfulness he's demonstrated in your life. May he give you opportunities to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Amen.